The Prime Minister told MPs Northern Ireland people should understand welfare reform is about returning people to work, not cutting benefits. He was responding to DUP's David Simpson during Prime Minister's questions at the House of Commons. Mr Simpson hit out at Sinn Féin's opposition to welfare reform while also praising this week's royal visit to Northern Ireland.
Mr David Simpson.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. I'm sure the Prime Minister and the whole House will join with me in welcoming a very successful visit by Her Majesty the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh to Northern Ireland this week. Will the Prime Minister also join with me in condemning Sinn Féin's foolish approach to welfare reform, which is not protecting the vulnerable in Northern Ireland, but is costing the Northern Ireland Executive £5 million per month in fines?
Well, I agree with the Honourable Gentleman on both counts. First of all, as ever, the Queen's visit to Northern Ireland has been a huge success and I think has highlighted the economic renaissance that is taking place. With over 800 foreign investors, Northern Ireland is now one of the top UK destinations for investment. And can I say I'm extremely jealous of Her Majesty being able to stare on the Iron Throne and to meet the cast of Games of Thrones, which is now one of the most successful television productions anywhere in the world, hosted in Northern Ireland. But he's also right. He's also right about welfare reform. The point of welfare reform is to help people get back to work rather than just to cut budgets. And we need to explain to all the parties in Northern Ireland that we should be engaging in welfare reform to help get people back to work.
An issue that just won't go away. Where do we go from here? That was the Prime Minister yesterday. On the line, Sinn Féin MLA Alex Maskey and the DUP MLA Peter Weir. Alex Maskey, I know you're tight for time, so we'll start with you. I mean, what do you make of what the Prime Minister had to say yesterday?
Well, I think the bottom line for Sinn Féin, and I think for most people, is that the best way to make work pay, actually, Joel, is to create a job and give people a decent wage. That's the best way to make work pay. And I have to say that whenever David Cameron, or anybody else for that matter, is trying to insist upon imposing a welfare reform bill as it is at the moment, when the thing is failing, it's crumbling around him in Britain. All the reports from London, from Westminster, from the British government reports themselves, tell you that on virtually every measure, this system is actually failing. And there you also have the British Labour Party now saying, if they happen to be elected next year, whether they will or not, I don't know, but if they're elected next year, then they will suspend the universal credit because it has failed miserably. There are supposed to be like a million or whatever people on that. They're nowhere anywhere near that. The fact of the matter is this process is in place where it was from the old incapacity benefit to ESA. That's failed. Far fewer people are getting jobs. So the reality here is for us, the bottom line is the way to get people out of welfare and into work is to create the jobs and to give people a decent wage. That's the answer, not this bogus way of trying to cut your benefits bill in a way in which actually helps nobody because it makes more people who are vulnerable worse off. And it doesn't do anything to create employment.
But the Prime Minister has said there in that very clip that the welfare reform bill as it is about returning people to work and it's not about cutting benefits.
But I mean, the British government's own reports, you know, the Department of Work and Pensions in London, other British government reports, MPs, committees, audit committees and all the rest of that, each and every one of those have reported that the system is failing and failing dramatically. We even have the people who are carrying out the assessments. ATOS are leaving the scene. They're actually, they have the major contract, multi-million pound contract. They're leaving it because they're saying that the system is a totally flawed system. So why would a private company who are getting multi-millions of pounds walk away from what would appear to be a lucrative contract other than the fact that the system's not working? And we here know that that system's not working because we have so many people who have been assessed by ATOS and have won their cases on appeal. So the bottom line is, as I say, this is not just us or anybody else that matter. And remember this, I mean, Sinn Féin has this position, so do other parties. The SDLP would have a similar position. Church leaders have a similar position. Trade unions have a similar position. All of those who are working out there in the community voluntary sector will also give you clear examples of how this welfare cuts agenda is going to be harmful to people. So it's not a party issue. It's not a single party issue, certainly. And we have been making the case very, very well, unfortunately, that this system is not working. The British government's own reports tell us that it's not working. The IT system isn't working. Millions upon millions of pounds of public money in Britain squandered to get an IT system working, which can't work. We have we're supposed to have hundreds of thousands of people transferred on universal credit. That has not happened. We're supposed to have more people encouraged into work, moving from incapacity benefit to ESA. That has not happened. You know, the list goes on, and that's their acknowledged failures. That's not just Sinn Féin basically saying, oh, the system's not right. That's the government's own and London's own reports telling us that the system has fundamentally failed.
So
why would we want to impose that on people here?
So you're more than happy to take the £5 million a month hit that's going to come every month in January?
We're not more than happy, because the £5 million, and people can dance on the head of a pin on all this. You mean the £5 million is just an arbitrary figure that the DUP ministers and the DWP in London seem to cobble up together. There's no cost, there's no proper estimate of all of this, because, as you know, benefits are demand-led, so you can't really say 1 week to the next, well, how much we're going to charge it. So
but whether it's £5 million a month or £4 million a month or £3 million a month in fines, you're not going to move your position. If that fine comes, then so be it.
Well, it was going to come to that point, because it's not as just as cavalier as that by any stretch, because we are conscious that no matter what you do here, you're on a heading of nothing, because the bottom line for us is that the welfare reform bill, as it's called, which is really a cuts agenda, is going to take probably £500 million, £450 million, which is the department's own calculations, not mine. So the department have calculated it will be like somewhere in the region of £450,000 out of a local economy, out of people's pockets directly. Others would argue that figure is much higher, possibly up to £700 million by the time you get to know our 3 years. But nevertheless, you know, so on the one hand, you're going to take money directly out of vulnerable people's pockets. That comes out of directly the local economy. All that money, by the way, which is all spent in the local area. And against that, if the welfare reform bill isn't produced or isn't implemented on the way in which British government wanted to impose, and indeed also the DUP, then obviously there we've been told we're going to be fined so many million pounds a year, whatever else. I don't want either scenario. So we want to talk to David Cameron, because our argument, we made this clear, we're not in dispute with the DUP in this matter. They've chosen to support the welfare cuts agenda, so be it. That's a matter for them. Our argument here is directly with the British government. We have a British cabinet, every one of them a millionaire, and they're going to sit and dictate to people here. Nobody who voted for any of them, who are vulnerable here, who don't get work or maybe don't have work because of British government policies, by the way. So why would we be sitting being dictated to by millionaire cabinet?
Well, Peter Weir, I mean, you've listened to that. I mean, it's a damning list of reasons why Alex Maskey feels this isn't a good deal. I mean, you've been sold a pup. Sinn Féin will say at least they're fighting for the most vulnerable people in Northern Ireland.
Sorry, with respect on it, we have fought for people. We've actually delivered the changes that are required in terms of the flexibilities, in terms of payments for landlords, for example. We've agreed a package on the issue of bedroom tax, which means that anybody who's currently in a sort of receiving that at present will not be penalised in any way, shape or form. So in effect, for anybody pre-existing, the bedroom tax won't.
Yeah, but you've heard Alex Maskey this morning as to why he feels this is such a bad deal.
The reality is, in terms of this, first of all, in terms of the welfare bit, although there's a lot of aspects we don't like, what it will actually mean is it will not mean that there will be reductions in spending. What it will mean is it will actually be growing at a much slower rate. But the cuts that we are receiving, the £5 million a month, which will be gradually escalating, and this is not just some hypothetical situation, are biting today. They're biting in terms of the fact that even this week, Stephen Farry indicated that he would have liked to have done more in apprenticeships, but that money is being denied to him because of effectively the welfare cuts. Similarly, even from the point of view of money for redundancies for teachers, again, there's a shortfall of money there, which Joan O'Dowd had to make statements in the Assembly in relation to it. So on a day-by-day basis, people who are vulnerable, people who are being prevented from getting apprenticeships, people who are prevented from getting redundancy, because money is coming out of the system. That is actual reality in relation to that.
Yeah, but the basis of what Alex Maskey has said this morning is effectively, you know, the British government have effectively blackmailed you into it. It's the lesser of two evils. He's saying it's either a bad deal or it's £5 million a month in terms of fines from January.
With respect on it, I think they're dealing with a certain level of realities. Sinn Féin either appear to have their head in the sand, because it has been made abundantly clear that, for example, not going ahead with welfare reform, even Ivan Lewis on your own programme in terms of the Shadow Secretary of State has indicated that's not a sustainable position. And the reality is, for all that's been said in opposition by the Labour Party, undoubtedly with the, I think, the possible exception of some changes around the bedroom tax, Labour are going to be implementing welfare reforms. Now, the Prime Minister has indicated that there's no more money. The Deputy Prime Minister has indicated that. The Secretary of State has indicated that. So you've got to question whether Sinn Féin are simply putting their head in their sand, or perhaps more likely are dancing effectively to the tune of their electoral strength in the Republic of Ireland. And it seems to be that they seem to be completely closing their eyes to this issue, because they know that if they are embracing the changes that will be needed in terms of welfare reform, that makes it more difficult for them to display themselves as the party who is opposed to all austerity in the Republic of Ireland. Unfortunately, we are being shackled by the decisions that they have to make in the Republic of Ireland. And I think that is the lack of reality. And I think that was what was being highlighted by the Prime Minister yesterday in terms of response to David Simpson's question.
There you are, Alex Massey. You're grandstanding for electoral support in the Republic, while in the North your head's in the sand,
I don't think anybody would ever accuse Sinn Féin of having their head in the sand, because we're very clearly focused on what needs to be done. And it's actually interesting that people say you're handcuffed to, not sure the words that Peter used there, but in terms of, like, we're looking over our shoulder about votes or our electoral position in the South. We have a mandate of 500,000 people across this island on anti-austerity. So we went and sought a mandate to allow us to challenge these austerity measures, these programmes which punish vulnerable people.
I think the point he was making was it would look pretty bad having gone for that mandate in the South to then turn around and support these measures in the North.
Well, with all due respect, we have the same mandate in the North, because we stood in the elections, whether it was European elections, council elections, and the last elections, the Assembly. We stood on an anti-austerity, we stood on anti-cuts agenda. That was on our manifesto. So we're actually standing by our electoral commitments. That's what parties should actually do. We're not like the Irish Labour Party, who would say, you make a commitment in the run-up to election. Sure, that's what parties do. To paraphrase, I think, Pat Rabbit at one point. But anyway, you know, look, the bottom line for us is this. We do have a mandate for this the opposition to these cuts. And it's interesting when I hear the DUP, they keep telling us that there are aspects of the bill that they don't like. Well, let's just state them what they are. Well, and then they should actually take the campaign to challenge that, because the Labour Party, as I say, I don't know who'll be elected next year in Britain. I have no idea. And I wouldn't be holding my breath on any party in Britain actually, you know, setting the course for me. But what it is very clear, the British Labour Party just this last weekend have said if they get in the government next year in Westminster, they will suspend universal credit. That is at the very heart of the welfare reform bill. You can't have a welfare reform bill if you don't have universal credit. So, you know, why would you be rushing into something which has failed miserably across all of the measures I outlined earlier on, Joel, and send us to Peter as well? I mean, this policy has failed, and it's failed miserably. You have a Westminster election in less than a year. Why would you want to impose something on people here which has fundamentally failed in Britain? And that's the British government's own internal reports, not mine. That's theirs. The system's failed. The IT system's failed. The universal credit system has failed. Getting people to work from incapacity benefit to ESA has failed. The PIPs, the DLA, the PIPs has been failing. The company who's contracted out to do the assessments on people have walked away from their contract. So, you know, where do you start? I mean, if I was a DUP, I would actually go back to the drawing board, go and listen to the people who elect them, go and listen to working class people who rely on benefits very often, who do need that support. Go and talk to them, because I'll tell you, a lot of them come to the Sinn Féin offices because they're not getting help from other politicians. So I would just suggest, look, if there are elements of the welfare agenda that you're not happy about, identify them and then stand with the rest of us and challenge the British government to deliver.
Peter Weir, can I ask you just one final question? I mean, people listening to this, well, we hear such a massive difference of opinion between the two leading parties that are in government here in Northern Ireland, something that's going to have such a massive impact, such a vital issue, something that's going to affect the money in their pockets, such a massive gap between the two parties. I mean, what are they meant to think?
Well, I think they're saying one party that's trying to deal with the reality of the situation and another that, I mean, I'm not accusing Sinn Féin of walking away from their mandate. What I'm saying is I think they're being driven by the politics of the Republic of Ireland.
And Alex Massey said that's not the case. But in terms of the issues, I mean, there's such a massive difference here. This is a gap that could never be bridged, surely.
And the mature politics is not going to be one where you simply put your head in the sand and pretend this isn't happening. We're part of the United Kingdom. We're part of a social security system and the data taxation system, which is the same across that. And I mean,
but why would you not fight, as Alex Maskey says, why would you not fight a policy that he believes has failed?
The reality is that with the exception of the bedroom tax, which is something I think that there is a broader level of agreement on, and I suspect from their public position on the Labour Party have given indications in relation to that, there is a range of welfare measures that are coming, whether it's a Conservative government or a Labour government. And the longer we simply long-finger this, because it's something we're going to have to grasp eventually, because even in terms of the changes to the computer systems will cost hundreds upon hundreds of millions of pounds in relation to it. The longer we keep putting it off, the more we are directly today costing vulnerable people. It's £87 million this year. That figure will escalate. That money ultimately will come out of schemes which are very much at the coalface of spending, be it health, education, be it issues around apprenticeships, okay, and a whole range of things. The stance that is being taken in terms of the putting the head in the sand that Sinn Féin have taken is directly costing vulnerable people today. That's the message, and that's why we need to get on with this, and that's why we need to get this sorted out.
It's a massive...
That is mature politics. Simply the days of standing in the sidelines and shouting, we are against austerity, that is not good enough. We actually need to tackle these problems, and I think we need to see a more mature attitude from Sinn Féin.
Massive differences, as you've heard, between Alex Maskey and Peter Weir there. Listening to it all, Eamon McCann, who's a local commentator, of course, and Mark Brotherston from the Northern Ireland Conservatives. Eamon McCann, who do you think has got this right?
Well, I think, as between the two people who have just been arguing, you probably wouldn't be surprised to learn that I think Alex Maskey has got more right on his side than Peter Weir, which is not to say for a moment I would endorse everything that he or Sinn Féin says, but he's right about the fact that the difficulties with IT, sort of with the technology associated with this, are so massive that, in effect, welfare reform across the water is in chaos and has been postponed. And that, there was a leaked document from the DWP, Department of Work and Pensions, just a couple of weeks ago, published in Private Eye, which made it plain that the Westminster authorities are not in a position to proceed with this matter. And what's more, sort of the other thing that struck me is that, well, a number of things struck me, but one of them was also that people are bandying around figures here, sort of like snuff at a wake. And nobody mentioned other figures. For example, sort of the idea put out by Simon Hamilton that we'd be fined 105 million quid a year, of which 68 million pounds will be cut from the National Health Service budget. That's been said over and over again. Mr. Putz, the Health Minister, has said that you will cost my department 68 million quid and this will mean so much in nurses, etc., etc. The truth of the matter is that the question of where the axe would fall, if it is to fall, has not even been discussed at the executive as to which of the 11 departments would take the biggest hit and so forth. And yet sort of DUP people just throwing around these figures in order to scare people, and no mention at all of the view of all the parties, it would seem, at Stormont, that corporation tax should be cut. That is going to cost us, in most estimates, £400 million, higher than any estimate of the cost of these welfare reforms. And there were the big beneficiaries from the reduction in corporation tax would be big businesses already operating here. Tesco's, for example, would make millions of extra profit if corporation tax is reduced, but it would mean, sort of, as I say, around 400 million quid a time sort of being taken out of the local budget. And yet, all of the parties, including those who have been arguing on this programme and elsewhere about welfare reform, seem to be okay about that.
Mark Brotherston from the Northern Ireland Conservatives, I mean, Alex Maskey makes the point, why on earth would they want to embrace a policy that has failed so miserably, and why on earth would you do it within, what, less than a year of a possible general election, when you haven't even the foggiest notion if the policy would still be in place?
Hi, Joel. Well, the main point is that there's a duty of care to implement it. The duty of care on the devolved administration at Stormont to implement welfare reform. I mean, the executive must step up to the plate on this one. It's not just the block grant penalty we're talking about. It's about the wider aspect of rebalancing the Northern Ireland economy.
But Alex Maskey is saying that he and Sinn Féin do not believe that this is good for the most vulnerable people in the society here. So why on earth would he support it?
Well, by not implementing it, you are harming the most vulnerable in our society because of the reduction in the block grant. But if I can just say, the duty of care issue is that we have our duty of care to move people out of economic inactivity, and by not penalising them at the same time. But it's not about, and we cannot continue to incentivise inactivity. I mean, there's a long-term socio-economic cost to all of this as well. That if people are long-term out of work, it has an effect on their mental and physical incapacity as well. So there's a longer-term issue here. And reforming welfare is a key cornerstone to rebalancing the economy here in Northern Ireland. We cannot continue to take the block grant and welfare subsidy from the United Kingdom and Westminster and claim to be Northern Ireland but part of the UK by virtue of serving on the executive and taking the salary. I mean, we really must step up to the plate. How do we think that the people across the United Kingdom feel whenever we are sitting here in an economic deficit, drawing down $9.6 billion per year, and also not implementing fairness across our society and protecting the most vulnerable by facilitating pathways into employment, taking them out of the dungeons of economic inactivity and continuing to leave people by stifling social migration, leave them in the dungeons of unemployment and just continue to hope they can survive on benefits.
Eamon McCann?
Well, I mean, what we just heard, just bears no relationship to reality at all. I mean, the notion that there are people across the water looking over at Northern Ireland and saying, gosh, aren't they doing well over there, land of milk and honey, I wish we could have that. That's just nonsense. I mean, the idea that, the welfare reform will hit as hard here. And as for the idea that this will make things better, that this is in the interest of ordinary people, will create more employment and so on, there's simply no evidence whatsoever. However, for this proposition, it is stated over and over again by the Tory government, by Ian Duncan Smith, and so forth, as if it were an obvious truth. It is not. That analysis has been rejected, not only by sort of left-wing commentators and so forth. It's been rejected by the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's called for it. He's the Catholic Archbishop of Westminster. Various think tanks. Right across the political spectrum. The committee set up by the Scottish Parliament, for example, reported just a couple of months ago. It said that already the system is so broken that it's not working and that it's making things worse for the majority of ordinary working class people in Scotland. All of the evidence, I'll say that again, all of the evidence tells us that these reforms will not work in the way that the supporters of the reforms are telling us. And incidentally, one thing I did agree with, I wanted to get in, that Peter Weir said, anybody who looks to the British Labour Party coming back into office and changing all this is a fool. It's not true that the British Labour Party said last weekend that they would reverse all these things. It said nothing of the sort. It complained, of course. Key thing to keep in mind is that Miliband has said repeatedly that Labour will follow the budget figures, the overall budget figures of the Tory government for the first 2 years of office and then think about it afterwards. No, we can't rely on Labour either.
Go back to my very first point. The executive have a responsibility to step up to the plate. We have a devolved administration here. We have people, 108 people, taking a salary every week and every month to make decisions for Northern Ireland. Now, what we have to do is look at the decisions that are coming our way, and we have to look at how we can implement them with a duty of care for people who are sitting without being facilitated the opportunity to move into employment.
Yeah, but you heard what Alex Baskey said, that he can't do that if it flies in the face of what you actually stood for to get elected in the first place.
I want to have some dialogue here, not just, you know, a one-way transition. But we need to step up to the plate here locally, show some creative and innovative thought processes around how we do rebalance the economy, how we do grow the private sector to create jobs so people can. I mean, I work with people on a weekly basis who find themselves in this dungeon of economic inactivity. And whenever I'm talking to them and working with them, they tell me the best thing they would like is to move into employment, but in a fair way.
Heather's on the line this morning. I want to talk to Heather this morning. 0845955678.
The local assembly are being creative and innovative enough to create employment, for them to move into employment in a fair way, whilst not being penalised.
I want you to listen to Heather this morning, Mark, because Heather's called the programme this morning. 0845955678. Morning, Heather.
Good morning, Joel.
Go on ahead.
I am a working class blind woman from North Belfast. I'm a Protestant woman. I never thought that I would agree with Sinn Féin in anything, but I do agree with them about the welfare reform. My blindness is never going to go away. I'll have it for the rest of my life. We are being punished for being disabled, sent to tribunals, made to go to people like ATOS who are supervising the tribunals. They don't know anything about our blindness. They don't know anything about the way we have to live. I feel like saying, excuse me for breathing, excuse me for living, excuse me for being disabled. You know, we want to work. Disabled people do want to work. The majority of them do. But there are no jobs for them. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Mark, what do you say to Heather and people like Heather?
Heather, I absolutely understand the point you're coming from. I have a son myself who has a disability, and he's part of this whole debate that's going on. What I will say is that what's happening to you in terms of going to ATOS for an assessment, we need to look at that. I mean, and it has been said, we all need to look at how that's being conducted and implemented, because there are instances of it not being fair, not being conducted correctly. So, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater in terms of we want to implement welfare reform, but we have to focus on this, not penalising people, making the transition into employment. And that's written into the welfare reform. It's the implementation of that, or in this case in Northern Ireland, the non-implementation of it, where they need to sit down and think about how do we address issues like you've just raised, and how do we really transition people without penalising them? I mean, and it's possible to do. We just need to sit down and use creative thought about how we do that.
Eamon McCann?
Well, I'd just say that, you know, sort of the matter, you can argue about ATOS and so forth, and hardly anybody is going to phone in, I imagine, and defend sort of the way ATOS handled these matters. But really, it wasn't the incompetence of ATOS which lies at the heart of this. It simply was the cuts that ATOS was instructed to implement and to find ways of putting people off benefits or denying them their full benefits. That was what they were doing, not the way that they were doing it, which created all the problems. And to use phrases like helping the transition into employment, the fact of the matter is that many people who are not able to work because of disability, but just mentioned that, their situation will get worse. We know that the situations are the cuts affect and will continue to affect the elderly, sort of who need care. The notion that sort of people in need, the people at the bottom of the pile in society, that they are going to be benefited by having their entitlements cut, this flies in the face of common sense as well as everything else. People in need are not going to benefit from these cuts, and therefore anybody who supports equality, supports and wants to defend people in need and people who are particularly vulnerable should be raising their voices high, it seems to me, against the entire package.
Mark, are these fines, do you feel, inevitable come January, whatever the figure's going to be, the 5 million figure a month has been bandied around? Do you feel there's a sense of inevitability about this if we don't get any sort of movement, any sort of resolution locally?
Well, absolutely do. You've heard the Secretary of State earlier in the week saying that the DWP have and the Treasury have said that this is the decision made. And this is my point. We have a devolved administration here who should be not spending all their time disagreeing and not making decisions.
Yeah, but it's blackmail, isn't it, effectively?
Absolutely not blackmail. What we're saying is that it's about fairness. It's about fairness and protecting the most vulnerable. And I disagree with what Eamon said. Eamon has made the point that ATOS have a mode of operandi to take everybody off benefits. What an absolute load of nonsense.